For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. What a remarkable verse. I just pray that you would bless today in our hearts and our lives. Help us to love you more because of being here today. And Father, love requires doing things for you. Lord, please do a work in our hearts and our lives. I pray you'd help our pastor now as he comes and preaches from this verse. I pray for anybody that's here today in this room or on the internet that does not know this counselor. I pray they would accept him and trust him today before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
Yell louder as I get away from it. Now make sure your cell phones are turned off and don't pay attention to your cell phone. We have a rule here in our church that if you're caught using your cell phone during the service, you're dragged out of here and stoned to death on this piece of property right here behind us. And we really don't want that to happen to you, okay? You ever wonder how a preacher prepares a sermon? I know you sit around and think about it all the time. I do. This week, in preparation for Christmas time, I was thinking about the fact, well, we're just a few weeks away from Christmas. We need to preach about Christmas, about Jesus' birth. So as I began to think about it, and preacher friends would call, and we'll call each other and say, what have you got for Christmas this year? Got anything different? Got anything new? Got a thing to present. And I always tell them, well, how many times can you preach on Christmas? This file right here is all the sermons I have preached in 34 years on Christmas. I don't know how many there are in here, hundreds of them. And I keep them and I date them and everything else. I put a date on it. It'd be really easy for me just to kind of go back here and say, well, let's see, 1986. Nobody was here in 1986. Except me, my family, and Carol May. That was about it. Could pull that one out. They haven't heard that one in a long time. Then I thought, well, I don't remember what I preached last Sunday, so I could probably preach that. There's hundreds of sermons on Christmas. This is just Christmas now. I have a file on funerals. It's about that big. I preached 350 funerals in 34 years. As I got to thinking about it and thinking about, well, it's Christmas again. Then I stopped and I thought, yeah, but this is not just another Christmas, is it? Or is it? Is it just another Christmas? Is that it? Christmas 2017, I mean, is that what we're talking about? And as I thought about it, I thought to myself, well, why isn't it just another Christmas for us? So I have a new sermon to add to my collection to put here in the back somewhere of all the sermons that I've preached over Christmas time. Just a second while I put it away. This is what you call a visual illustration to keep people's attention. Christians have not always celebrated Christmas. The Bible doesn't command us to do so. So if you don't want to celebrate Christmas, you don't have to. Say, why do we do it, Pastor Johnson? Because we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. More importantly than that, we celebrate the fact that God came to be with us. So it's a tradition. It's not commanded in Scripture. You're not required to do it. If you don't want nothing, you want nothing to do with Christmas, then that's perfectly all right. You don't have to. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. Doesn't mean you don't love God or anything else. But ladies and gentlemen, look at me. We ought to celebrate the fact that God came to be with us. Yes, oh, yes, we should. And ladies and gentlemen, now listen very carefully. The sermon, the message, the thought today is very simple, and the subject is quite simply why it's not just another Christmas. We haven't celebrated, the church has not celebrated Christmas for 2,000 years. It would go back to maybe, oh, I don't know, about the 7th or 8th century, somewhere around in there. They began to celebrate the fact that we know almost certain anyway that Jesus was not born on December the 25th. We know what day actually he was born. What day, church? September the 12th. We're pretty certain about that. We're almost certain. Not 100%, but about 98.9 maybe, something like that. His birth, the date of his birth is not important because people will make a holy day out of that day. Every day is a holy day. So that's fine. And they celebrated Christmas because it's the shortest day of the year, and the days begin to get longer, and there was all kinds of stuff attached to it. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But the whole point of Christmas is to celebrate that God came to be with us. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Isaiah 7:14 tells us, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth the son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. In other words, Christmas is about the fact that Jesus came to be with us. And listen to me carefully. And today, it's very simple but very important to understand. That's why this is not just another Christmas. It's a time for us to stop and think about this. Amidst all the hustle and bustle and shopping and buying and all the Black Fridays that started on Black Tuesday and went through Black Friday and past Black Friday, and the fact that they put out Christmas decorations in July now in the stores to get money out of people, aside and separate of the commercialization of Christmas and all the other things that go along with it, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just another Christmas, because this is a time for God's people to stop and remind themselves that God came to be with us. See, that's what Brother James sang about just a moment ago. The song about Mary, did you know? I don't know how much she realized. I know what she was told. I know she was told that baby would be Emmanuel. I know she was told and understood that she was fulfilling prophecy, that a virgin would conceive. I know she knew a lot more than we understand, but I know this, ladies and gentlemen. After 2017 years, and a little shorter than that if you want to get calendar correct this morning, Jesus came to be with us. So aside and separate of shopping, and aside and separate of how many hours you're stuck in Walmart, aside and separate of how many people call back to a department to get a price on an item that doesn't matter from someone who doesn't know where it is anyway, aside and separate of the fact that your relatives are about to descend upon you, that's scary, aside of the fact that it's become politically incorrect to say Merry Christmas to people, and in many retail stores now, they're not allowed to say Merry Christmas. They have to say Happy Holidays. Aside and separate of all of that, this is not just another Christmas, because, my friend, after 2017 years, we are still celebrating and rejoicing in the fact that God came to be with us. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And we know and realize it's not Jesus' birthday. I remember years ago, a couple that we were in Bible college with, the Alberts, had us come over to their house, and they had a birthday cake. Now, if you do this, don't get upset with me. They had a birthday cake at Christmas time, and we put candles on it, and we stood around, blew the candles out, and sang Happy Birthday to Jesus. Now, if you do that, just give me a piece of cake. Okay, that's all I'm asking for. But the truth of the matter is, it isn't his birthday. Jesus has always been. When it says God came to be with us, it didn't mean Jesus started when he was born. It means Jesus was already in existence. He's the great I Am. Jesus Christ is God the Son and the Son of God. And he was willing to leave heaven and set aside his rights and privileges to be born of a virgin and walk this earth as a man in God in man flesh, in a body of a man. But he was willing to do all of that just to come to be with us, and not just to walk this earth, and not to be the Prince of Peace. I was thinking about the angel's announcement to the shepherds that night. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You know, people think that Jesus came to bring peace on this earth. No, he didn't. He came to this earth to provide for us salvation. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh who came with a divine purpose, and the divine purpose was to go to Calvary's cross and pay for our sins and dip his soul into death and rise again 3 days later. He came with a divine intent, a plan of God to provide for us salvation through himself. And ladies and gentlemen, 2,000 years later, salvation is still in the person of Jesus Christ. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not just another Christmas because of who it's about. It's still about Jesus. Okay, about Santa and Rudolph and the red-nosed reindeer and all that kind of stuff. Oh, man, I used to be death on Santa Claus. Teaching second grade boys Sunday school class. One day I got all fired up about Santa Claus. I told you this before. I'll tell you again anyhow. I had a bunch of 10, 12, 15 second grade boys sitting there, and I said, boys, watch this. I'm going to tell you about Santa Claus, who he really is. And I wrote Santa on the board, S-A-N-T-A. I said, now watch this. All you have to do is move a letter or two, S-A-T-A-N, Satan. That's who he is. That fat guy coming down the chimney is Satan. And it's not Santa Claus, it's Satan's claws to drag you down to hell. You should have seen the look on the boys' faces. They're just sitting there going. This one little boy looks at me and goes, I'm going to tell my mom what you said. Said, you go ahead, bring mom down here. She'll get a load too, bro. Not a problem. Come on. Satan's claws to take you to hell. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was the Antichrist. I mean, I had it working. Okay, so I don't care about Santa. I don't care. Make a difference to me. Years ago, one of our grandparents was taking their grandson around to the mall, and he went and sat in Santa's lap and said, Santa says, what do you want for Christmas? And the boy said, I want a bicycle. And he said, okay, be a good boy. We'll see what we can do for you. And he left. They went to another department store. There was a Santa in there. He sat on his lap. He said, what do you want for Christmas? The little boy said, I want a bicycle. He said, okay, you be a good little boy. We'll see what we can do for you. Take him to another department store. There was a Santa in there. Sit on his lap, and Santa said, what do you want for Christmas? And the little boy looked at me and goes, ain't you been paying attention? I told you I wanted a bicycle. And to go ahead and bust the rest of your Christmas bubble, there is no such thing as Santa Claus. If you hear something on the roof for Christmas Eve, that's people breaking in to steal your presents. That's what that is. Some of you think he comes down the chimney. You don't even have a chimney. What is he going to do, get through the air ducts? I mean, think about it for a moment. Okay, so it's Santa and Rudolph, and Christmas is still, was and still is about Jesus Christ coming to be with us. That's why it's still Christmas. Hey, it's not just another Christmas. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. That little baby right in that manger there, ladies and gentlemen, that's not just a baby. That's God in human flesh, wrapped and delivered to us so he would come and walk this earth sinless, perfect, and pure, and go to the cross and pay for our sins and dip his soul into death and rise again 3 days later. Hey, it's Christmas 2017, but it's not just another Christmas. It's still about Jesus. It's not just another Christmas because of what it means. It still means that God has kept his promise. Do you understand that prophecy you read this morning in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6 came centuries before Christ would be born? Isaiah 7:14, same thing. All throughout your Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen, are prophetic statements that God would give us a son. Started back in the Garden of Eden when God promised after the sin of man that he would come, the seed of man would come and bruise the head of the serpent. That's Jesus prophesied almost 6,000 years ago. And after all this time, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. After all this time, all the promises God made culminated in that moment when Christ came into this world, born of a virgin, just like he prophesied. Everything God promised about us in this birth of Christ is exactly the way God said. Now look at me carefully. That means this: God keeps his promises. That's good to know nowadays. It still means God keeps his promises. Hey, look at me. God keeps his promises. So in the birth of Christ, that's what that means. That means God keeps all of his promises. All the other ones that he made. The one where Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, Jesus said. and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's another promise. There are thousands of promises God made in the Word of God. I can assure you, my friend, they have been kept, they are being kept, and they will be kept. And Christmas is not just another Christmas. It's a reminder that God keeps his promises. I don't know how reliable people are around you. I don't know how much you rely on what people say. Please don't listen to politicians. The truth of the matter is, promises are made and not kept by the bozillion. How many is that? It's a lot. But Christmas reminds us God kept his promise to us. He said his son would come, and his son did come. God keeps his promises. Hey, Christmas reminds us also, because this is what it means. It means God is able. Oh, God is able. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Born of a virgin, never knew a man. Only happened once in the entire scope of the billions of people who walked this planet. One time, a child was born without the seed of man and seed of woman together. One time, and that one time is that person, Jesus Christ. Tell me God is not able. Tell me God cannot perform a miracle. Tell me God cannot do something that science has no answer for, no reason to understand, no way to give us anything that could ever explain to us how a woman who never knew a man could give birth to a child and conceive and give birth. How could that possibly be? I'll tell you how it is. It's because there is a God in heaven who is able. Satan opposed Christ's birth. Politicians ignored it. Religious leaders dismissed it. And most people missed it. You must remember that upon his birth, there was Joseph, there was Mary, and there was a handful of shepherds. No, the wise men were not there that night. I hate to bust your bubble on the wise men. But the truth is, they didn't come to the house. They didn't come to Jesus until he's almost 2 years of age. But you know what? The important thing is this. There were a bunch of people who knew and didn't care, but Jesus came anyhow. There was no room for him in the inn, but he was still born. There was no assembly there of dignitaries to welcome him, but he still came. Christmas reminds us God is able. See, well, he was able in Christ's birth. That means God is able to what you need him to be. And God is able for what you need him to do. I'm sorry for some today who've lost their faith. They've lost their confidence that there is a God in heaven who's still able to do what he does. But he is, my friend, I assure you. And Christmas reminds us of the great ability of God. In the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4 says, Christ came. You know what that means? Exactly on time, in time, and at the time he was supposed to be. You can't even get your family out the door on time. You can't get people to show up on time. You can't get people to do anything on time anymore. We don't even start services on time. You probably don't notice it, but we start at 5 minutes after the hour, every service. I remember years ago we had a man come. His name was Jewel Smith. And Jewel Smith carried with him the antiquities of the Word of God. He had an original King James Bible of 1611. He had cuneiform that went back to Abraham's day. He had all this stuff, and he would put it out on display tables and talk about the origin of the Word of God and how it came about and everything else. He had a world-class collection of antiquities of the Word of God. He came and preached for us twice. But he was an old school guy. He believed if you start at 11 o'clock, you start at 11 o'clock. And we started at 11:05. And 11 o'clock, Jewel Smith was looking me up. Are we having this service today? I said, yes, sir, we start at 11:05. He goes, you said 11 o'clock on your material, 11 o'clock. Are we going to have this service or not? I said, yes, sir, we're going to have this service at 11:05. 11:02, he comes to me. Are we having this service or not? I said, yes, sir, we are. We start at 11:05. He says, but it said 11 o'clock. I said, I told you we started at 11:05. 11:03, he came up to me. Are we starting this service or not? I started thinking, maybe we're not with you. Ask me one more time. The second time he came back, he goes, now you start late, right? I said, no, we started at 11:05. It's right on time, the Mike Johnson time. Not a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, I know for some of you who believe in evolution, that this is like we're part of trillions of years of ooze and monkey swinging from trees, that kind of healthy stuff. Truth is, in 6,000 years of human history, listen now, only one event's been on time. Now you think about that. Years ago when our girls were home, and they had the habit of being late. all the time, to everything, to anything. If they knew when they were going to die, they'd be a half hour late. I mean, it was that bad. It got to the place where I had to lie to get things done. It wasn't my fault. It was their fault. If I wanted to leave at 9 o'clock, I had to say 8:30. When are we leaving, Dad? 8:30, so we could be out of the house by 9 o'clock. One Sunday, all three of them were late. And it aggravated me to the point I couldn't take it anymore. I left them. Got in the car and drove off. Said, that's it, you stinking people. You're late all the time. That's it. Now, some of you guys should be saying amen right now. Except you know how stupid that really was. See, when you do something like that, you do have to eventually go back home. See, how many times you do it? Once. Just once. But I made my point. And boy, did I pay for that. The truth is, right on time, brother. Right on time. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. Right on time, exactly when God said, exactly when it was supposed to be, exactly the way God said it was supposed to be. I said Christmas is not just another Christmas. God is able. Christmas means, it means God's will be done. People get in the way and they mess with stuff, but you hear me. You hear me. No one could stop the fact that when it was time for God's will to be done concerning the birth of Christ, it was done exactly the way God said and exactly the way God intended. Same way with the cross. At exactly the moment, at exactly the hour, at exactly the time of the Passover, at exactly the instant when the Lamb was offered, the Lamb of God offered himself at that moment. And 3 days and three nights later, exactly on time, like he said he would, he rose from the dead, exactly the way God said. You see, people, listen to me carefully. People can mess with God's plan. They can mess with us, but you can't mess with this. When it's time and God says it's time, it will be as God said. Here's how you capitalize that statement. God wins. Yeah, buddy. When it's over and done, God wins. Man doesn't win, God wins. Man passes his law, God's law stands. Man says what he wants, God will have the last word. God wins, God wins. That's the way it is. So don't get all worked up about what people say, do, or think. Don't get all concerned about what governments allow and don't allow. Pass laws, do all that foolishness. You listen to me carefully. When it's time for God to complete God's plan will be completed. God will win. Jesus will rule and reign. That's the way it's supposed to be. And that's why this is not another Christmas, you see. God wins. And God's plan is fulfilled. And it's not just another Christmas because we're not going to let it be just another Christmas. Few people paid attention when Christ came to Bethlehem, but some did know and some did come. See, shepherds who came that night, the shepherds who saw the angelic host, they came that night Christ was born. The king could have been there. King Herod, he could have been there. The Pharisees and that crowd, they knew exactly where Jesus was to be born. They could have come also, but they didn't. Multitudes could have come. And if they had to stand around a manger, ladies and gentlemen, and know that was the Christ child, they could have been there, but just a handful. But listen to me very carefully. But the shepherds did come, and they were there. See, God is always in the business of letting people know who want to know. And then what did those shepherds do? They came, they saw the babe lying in a manger. Interesting. They feed sheep. They care for sheep. He's laying in a feeding trough for animals. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, which are the poor rags that they used to wrap babies in those days when you were very poor. Wrapped in poor man's rags, laying in a feeding trough in a stable, a barn. And there are shepherds who were of the lower class of people in those days, not considered worthy of any status or a status in society. And there they are, standing there, and they see Jesus. And they see the Christ child, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know what that means? When they saw him, they didn't go, oh, that's nice, and went home. No, no, no. They left with great joy and told everybody that they could. See, we're not going to let this be just another Christmas. You know why? We're going to tell people that Jesus came. They say happy holidays. Don't be unkind. Don't look at them and go, you're a heathen. Don't you know it's a Merry Christmas? got the reprobate, but keep pointing your finger. No, don't do that either. The truth of the matter is, look at me. You look at him and say, hey, Merry Christmas to you. I've had people in retail place go,
Merry Christmas to you too.
We have these candy cane tracks out here. Tells the story of the candy cane. Other side's got the gospel in it. Most people will take one of those. Very few I've ever seen turn it down. Give them out. We're giving out hundreds of those things. You know what? It's not just another Christmas. Maybe everybody doesn't understand what it's all about. Maybe everybody's saying, yeah, it's something about a baby in a manger somewhere with a thing. I don't know what that is. And they can say happy holidays all they want to. I'm saying Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And it's a don't say Merry Christmas. That doesn't look like Merry Christmas. Don't look like Merry Christmas like y'all want to kill you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas with a smile on your face. Merry Christmas. Not too big a smile to think you're on drugs or you've been using liquor. But the truth of the matter is, Merry Christmas. Hey, Merry Christmas. We're going to let people know it's a Merry Christmas. You know why it's a Merry Christmas? Because Jesus came. You know why it's a Merry Christmas? Because he's in my heart. He's my personal Savior. You know what? This is not just another Christmas. I want people to know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Well, Pastor, we don't need to shove our religion down their throat. Why not? They shove theirs down ours. Huh? Stinking liquor industry don't have any problem shoving their religion down our throat. That's right. Heathens don't have any problem shoving their junk down our throat. How come God's people? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Tell others about Jesus Christ and salvation. Please let others see Jesus in you. This is not just another Christmas. Because we're not going to let it be another Christmas. We're not going to complain standing in line at Walmart. Boy, that's hard to do. We're not going to do it. Look at me. We're not going to get together with our families and fight like cats and dogs. We're not going to do it. It's not just another Christmas because this could be the last one, you know. This could be it. This could be our last Christmas on this earth. We won't celebrate it in heaven because we have the person. We don't need the celebration. We've got Jesus. But what if this is our last Christmas? And Christ returns and everything's different and we're in heaven, those who are saved. Then this is our last Christmas. What if this is your last Christmas here on this earth? What? What if this is the last Christmas you get to celebrate with one of your loved ones because they're in heaven? What if this is the last Christmas? So, Pastor, I don't want to even think about that. Ladies and gentlemen, the next one doesn't happen for another year. That's why we often remind you, listen to me, you're going to get together with your family, settle up, enjoy the time. Oh, just put a good face on it. No, put a better face on it. Get with your family and realize that next Christmas there may be an empty spot at your table. You understand that? And you want to enjoy this Christmas. This is it. Hey, this could be the last one. This could be the last one to have little children in your house. This could be the last one. They could all be teenagers next year, and then what do you get? We love you. You too, Malik. We love you. The truth of the matter is, this could be it. Hey, this could be our last Christmas. You understand that? I don't know what is up with people nowadays. They act like everything is well, it's just another day. No, it's not another day. This is a time to rejoice in the fact that, yeah, it's a good time for family. It's a good time for folks to get together. It's a good time to share fellowship. It's a good time. And if Jesus Christ comes the day after Christmas, which would be great because then the bills are due, it would be fantastic to be able to go up. You know, this could be our last one. So this is not just another Christmas. For some of you, this is your first Christmas with somebody you love that's in heaven. It'll be a different Christmas. It won't be bad. It'll just be different. If you're like us, our family, we trade off with the in-laws. So one Christmas we get everybody, and the next Christmas the mother people get them. Well, this is our time. But see, next Christmas it won't be like this. They'll all be gone. So then every Christmas becomes special. Everyone becomes important. And friend, look at me. If this is your last Christmas on this earth, where will you spend your eternity? That Jesus came doesn't mean everybody has salvation, you know. It means just as much as he needed to be received when he came, he still needs to be received now. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. No, it's not just another Christmas. Question, please, this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please.